us.
And to Cuba now, where U.S. contractor Alan Gross goes on trial tomorrow. He faces a 20-year prison sentence for allegedly trying to set up satellite internet networks in a plot to undermine the government. Fidel and Raul Castro have been in power longer than any ruler in the Arab world, but the unrest we've seen in Libya and Egypt is far less likely in Cuba, as Nick Muroff reports.
Social media sites have been powerful organizing tools in the Middle East, but they're of little use to the small opposition movement in Cuba, the least connected country in the hemisphere. When some activists tried to organize a protest through Facebook last week, no one showed up. Longtime Castro critic Elizardo Sanchez argues that while Middle Eastern governments are autocratic, Cuba's system is totalitarian.
Este es un gobierno con una enorme capacidad de control social.
This is a government with an enormous capacity for social control, Sanchez said. The Cuban people aren't ready to rise up like they did in Tunisia, Egypt, or Libya. They're too intimidated by the regime, and they almost entirely depend on it for their economic well-being, he said. Through an agreement with the Catholic Church and the Spanish government, Cuba has been emptying its jails of political prisoners. 8 months ago, there were more than 50 jailed Cubans who Amnesty International considered prisoners of conscience. Today, there are five. But they aren't likely to lead an anti-Castro uprising anytime soon. Of the 70 prisoners that have been released so far overall, only about 10 remain on the island. Most chose to go to Spain.
Libertad! Libertad! Libertad!
Outside a Havana cathedral, the ladies in white march and chant freedom every Sunday. It's the only act of public protest tolerated by the government. For years, they've demanded the release of their jailed husbands and relatives. Now many of the men are out, like Angel Moya Acosta, freed last month after 8 years.
Junto con un grupo de hermanos que están en Cuba, luchando por la libertad y los derechos y la justicia del pueblo, incorporamos.
I'll keep fighting alongside my brothers here in Cuba for freedom, rights, and justice, Moya said. I won't stop denouncing the Cuban regime and teaching others about human rights. Within minutes, Moya was arguing heatedly with a Cuban state television crew, and the shouting match spilled over into the street. As the film crew yelled pro-Castro slogans, Moya, the ladies in white, and a handful of others chanted Zapata Lives, waving photocopied pictures of Orlando Zapata Tamayo, the prisoner who died of a hunger strike a year ago. Several passing cars slowed to watch, but no one stopped to join the protest. Even Jonathan Farrar, the top U.S. official in Cuba, acknowledged in a leaked 2009 cable that Cuba's dissidents are divided and have little following on the island. Whenever they do try to demonstrate elsewhere, the government's response is swift. Only instead of guns and tanks, pro-government crowds surround protesters and scream obscenities and insults at them in what are known as acts of repudiation. On the February 23rd anniversary of hunger striker Zapata's death, more than 100 teenagers and university students swarmed the Havana home of Laura Poyan, a leader of the Ladies in White. They threw an egg at her door and stayed more than 5 hours, calling her ugly, crazy, and worse, with puerile songs and chants that seemed like something out of a nasty summer camp. Plainclothes state security agents stood by, doing little to hide their role in both facilitating the event and making sure things didn't get out of hand. Law student Alejandro Gonzalez had shouted himself hoarse. We're young Cubans who support the revolutionary process and are against these mercenaries who are paid by the U.S. government, Gonzalez said. A new documentary on Cuban state TV features wiretapped phone calls of conversations between dissidents on the island and Miami exiles, showing their alleged political and financial ties to militants the government considers terrorists. The star of the program is a journalist and contributor to U.S.-funded Radio Martí, who has worked with dissidents for years. Turns out he's really Agent Emilio, an undercover Cuban security official. For NPR News, I'm Nick Muroff in Havana.